Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Scriptures. As we reflect on the Bible, make us open to your wisdom, receptive to your will, and courageous in our response. Amen.
Amen.
Just before I share my thoughts with you today, I thought I might just explain what a reader is. Certainly in the last year I've been worshipping here, I haven't come across a reader preaching to yourselves. So I just explain, because often people think, reader, why does it take them 3 years to learn how to read the Bible? Reader is lay minister. It's a term for a lay minister in the Anglican Church. We study for 3 years or more in my case, but that's another story. And we can do all that an ordained minister does, apart from administer the sacraments. So we cannot marry, we cannot celebrate the Eucharist, and we cannot baptize, but we can and take funerals, and that's often what readers do, especially in town churches. So that's a little bit of an explanation. We're licensed to the diocese. We're not confined to one parish, so we can travel wherever we're required, really. So that's a brief explanation. And it's good to be talking with you here today. A month ago, I heard a journalist on the Radio 4 News describing a ceremony in Tiananmen Square in China, in Beijing. And that was to celebrate the 12 months until the Olympic Games begin in China next year. The journalist described the ceremony as perfect. He put it all down to the obedience of the well-rehearsed participants, but without any spontaneity. If, like me, you are disturbed about the Olympics being held in China due to their poor human rights record, the word obedient might send a chill down your spine. This is surely not the obedience that God requires of us, as referred to in our first reading in verse 17 from Deuteronomy today. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them. We are not required to walk in the same formation and strict paths in fear of what we might become of us if we don't. God gave us free will. And we each have varied routes and paths to follow. We are free to choose to love God or not. Yes, there are consequences, but we have a choice. In today's reading, the analogy of that choice between life and death. By choosing life, the Israelites are promised prosperity. By choosing death, they are headed for destruction. I'm not sure what would have happened to the Chinese in Tiananmen Square in this August celebration if they had got out of line. But we know that in China and other places, sadly, around the world, people who get out of line by standing up to oppressive regimes who require strict obedience without question to their laws, or who go about practicing their Christian faith, or who convert to Christianity, are still, to this day, oppressed, tortured, and even murdered. The God who called the Israelites to obey him through the words he gave Moses as they were about to cross the Jordan into the promised land is a God of love. a God who desires the best for those who know him and follow him, a God who calls us to be in close relationship with him. It is when we are in close relationship with him and with other human beings that we know what they would like us to be and do. That they try to give us what is good for us, to provide us with our daily needs, to bring us contentment, joy, and happiness. So it is with God. In the summer, Chris, my husband and I, were at a summer fair in Kimbolton. After spending the morning together, we went our separate ways for an hour or so. He, to admire the classic cars, and me to be tempted by the craft show. And then I moved on and watched the dog show. For a short while before the heavens opened and we all ran for cover. I watched the dogs that afternoon performing a wide range of obedience-based actions with admiration, slight concern and amusement. Admiration that the dogs' obedience to their masters and mistresses enabled them at the correct time and in the correct sequence to pass over and through a variety of obstacles. It enabled them to jump over higher and higher barriers and to retrieve different objects. My slight concern was at the finale when a few jumped through hoops of fire. They assured us that it was quite safe for the dogs. But the dog who caught my attention most, and I think amused us all, was the one who did things in his own time and own way. He still did as he was told, but usually a little bit later than all the others. The common thread running through the commentary of the dog show, and it was very apparent to me as I watched, and I'm not an expert on dogs in any way, but the common thread was the delight the dogs had in pleasing, not just the spectators, but their owners. Probably it was the pleasure that they gave their master or mistress that was the driving force that made them so obedient. What was required of the dogs was to listen to their owner. What did the owners have to do to gain the dog's attention? Yes, give them clear instructions. But more than that, they had to love them, treat them well, and reward them. There was no sign of any physical pressure to get them to obey. I believe this is the model of obedience God, through Moses, offered the Israelites and offers us still today. Earlier in that chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, at verse 11, there is a statement that we might struggle with. Now, what I am commanding you is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. We might indeed find it difficult. After all, there are a number of instances in the Bible of people finding it difficult to obey God. And indeed, they gave excuses why they couldn't. Moses himself told God he could not speak in public. Jeremiah said he was too young. And Jonah tried to avoid God's command altogether by running away. But as we know, all three obeyed God in the end. Then we have the example of Mary, mother of Jesus, whose life many churches celebrate at this time of year. Mary, who as a young girl risked much to obey God, who throughout her life suffered the agony of standing by as her son was both revered and despised, who was there when he was brought to an agonizing death, a high cost of obedience that most of us, thankfully, are not called to experience. But if we find ourselves saying, it was all right for them, they did not have the temptations we have today. We have so many alternative gods to follow that don't require obedience. The gods, perhaps, of money, possessions, the internet, or sadly for some, alcohol and drug addiction. Or perhaps the more subtle ones of power, status, selfishness. We need to look again for Jesus for the answers. Jesus, who tells us in our reading this morning from Luke that his disciples must be prepared to give up everything in order to be his disciples. Jesus knew from a young age what he had to do to be obedient to his Father. He rebuked his early earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, when they told him how anxious about him they had been when he stayed behind in the temple. He rebuked them because he was obeying his heavenly Father. But following this, I was reassured to read that Jesus was in fact obedient to Mary and Joseph as he grew in Nazareth. The most powerful example that we can perhaps draw on for help to be obedient to our God of love is that of Jesus' obedience as his earthly life draws to an end. Jesus, while still being obedient to his Father's will, in the same breath, both pleads, "Take this cup from me, and yet not my will, but yours be done." What is required of us to follow Jesus' example of obedience is to be found perhaps in the final verse of this morning's Deuteronomy reading. "Love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." Perhaps indeed, this is not too tall an order for us. Perhaps indeed it is within our reach. But we all need God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the love and guidance of one another in order to overcome our difficulties on the way. Amen.
We stand and sing our next hymn together, number 16.